It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Always a delight to be here. Give Sandy the day off every now and then. And what a great day it is in America just to be able to wake up in a country that is free. And we still have great freedom to be on the air each day. And we ought not to take that for granted. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. President Trump is in day two of his visit to London. Of course, he's doing this trip overseas. The primary purpose is to commemorate D-Day, which is coming up on June the 6th, 2 days from now, 1944, a day obviously that has gone down in history and continues to be so, and rightly so, what happened on the beaches of Normandy to ensure freedom. And it's a visit. He was invited by Queen Elizabeth, and it's a state visit, and it is a commemoration of two great nations getting together to defeat evil on that day. Many of the headlines, and we ought not be surprised by this, the mainstream media, has to do with the protests in London. Now, these protests, I can tell you at this point, somewhat less vigorous than the protests that the president had to endure when he was there, I guess, a year or two ago, his first visit to London. But nonetheless, here's the headline this morning. Trump baby blimp flies in London as protests greet president. And you probably have seen pictures of that kind of mocking the president. There were tens of thousands of protesters during his first visit there ways back. But this time they have been somewhat muted. Now, it all started off, of course, yesterday. And you may have heard some comments coming from London Mayor Khan. He and the president don't get along. They don't see eye to eye. He's a Muslim, and he has problems with the president's efforts to secure our southern border. He doesn't like him for that reason and calls him every name under the sun. Here's just a little example of what the mayor of London was saying in advance of the president's arrival yesterday, cut number one.
President Trump, if you're watching this, your values and what you stand for are the complete opposite of London's values and the values in this country. We think diversity is not a weakness, diversity is a strength. We respect women and we think they're equal to men. We think it's important to safeguard the rights of all of us, particularly the vulnerable and the marginalized. When you are the president of the USA, you have a massive leadership role. You have a massive platform as well. People follow what you do. What we've seen over the last few years in the USA is a rolling back of much of the progress made in previous decades. It's really important we continue to move forwards. What we're seeing in the USA is a rolling back.
I think we've heard enough. You get the gist of all of this, that according to the mayor of London, that things are absolutely horrible in this country, and it's all Donald Trump's fault. Well, somebody ought to remind this mayor that our economy is the best it has been in decades. And across racial lines, of course, he tried to paint him as a racist, across racial lines, that people are enjoying economic benefits that they haven't in decades. But he doesn't want to speak the truth. And as President Trump, as he's known to do, reminded the mayor of London yesterday in the wake of those comments, and yes, that was a video that the mayor produced, President Trump reminded the mayor that things ain't too good, pardon my English, in London, where you have the highest crime rates in recent years. They have an economy that is absolutely horrible. So, Mr. Mayor of London, clean up your own backyard before you start injecting yourself. I think that's what the president was saying. Anyway, a victory back home here for the president while he's away. Yesterday, a Washington, D.C. district judge, Trevor McFadden, threw out House Democrats' lawsuit seeking an injunction against President Trump's emergency border wall funding reallocation, saying that the matter is fundamentally a political dispute and that the politicians lack standing to make a legal case. Now, what's the basis here? You know that back in February, President Trump declared a national emergency on our southern border. Now, initially, of course, when he was talking about the crisis in our southern border, the Democrats were dismissing that. No crisis down there. Well, just watch some video from our southern border just for a few minutes, and you will see that there is no doubt a crisis down there. Literally thousands every week crossing the border down there illegally, invading our country, and so much so that we cannot handle all of these people coming in. And so, so the president tries to get some more money for border security, and also that money was earmarked to help deal with the people that have entered this country, whether other under declaration of asylum or whatever the case may be, to help our Border Patrol agents deal with the crisis on our southern border. And Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats said, no, you cannot do that. Well, initially a judge, by the way, a judge appointed by President Barack Obama, U.S. District Court Judge Haywood Gilliam, that injunction last week, he put an injunction on the president doing that. Well, this judge, who happens to be have been appointed by President Trump, said no. He said to Nancy Pelosi, basically, this is a political problem, not a legal problem. You guys work it out. But it's what's most disturbing here, folks, is that the Democrats seem to hate Donald Trump more than they love this country. That is the bottom line in all of this. There is no question of a crisis on our southern border. There is no question we need more resources down there to deal with this. But Democrats don't want to deal with it because they are open borders people. That's why they are fighting Donald Trump on this. They're not interested in border security. They want these thousands, tens of thousands coming into this country. Because at the end of the day, the hope of the Democratic Party is eventually they will be legalized as citizens and they will vote Democrat. That is the bottom line. That is the agenda. Remember President Barack Obama's election line. I'm going to change the country. I'm going to change the world. Well, the Democratic Party, Barack Obama may be gone. He's really behind the scenes. He's still orchestrating some of this. But the agenda, the modus operandi of the Democratic Party really is to undermine what we have right now. And to that point, Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, today is going to announce his $5 trillion plus climate proposal, $5 trillion. Now, Biden right now, you've heard about the polls, he is well out in front of his most aggressive challenger, Bernie Sanders, by about 18, 19 points. The others pretty well, the other, 22, are down in single digits. But Joe Biden knows that the Democratic Party is moving far, far, far to the left. So the 76-year-old Biden knows he has to do something to appease the far, far, far left. And so he's going to announce this $5 trillion plus climate proposal. Now, among other things, Biden is proposing covering the taxpayer costs of this by repealing the corporate tax cuts that President Trump signed into law in 2017, while eliminating existing subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. So he's going to repeal, Joe Biden is, to help pay for this $5 trillion price tag by repealing the corporate tax cuts. Now, folks, you don't have to be an economic expert to understand what's going to happen. A few moments ago, I was saying our economy is cooking like it hasn't in decades. One of the big reasons for that is these corporate tax cuts, folks, which allow companies to expand. It attracted companies who had left this country to do their business offshore. Remove those corporate taxes, they moved back into this country. They expanded. Companies that were here have been expanding, which explains why our unemployment rate is so, so low. There's now competition to get good employees. You know what that does? It drives up wages. This is basic stuff. You listen to Dan Celia any day, you know this. But Joe Biden, in announcing this plan today, wants to end all of that. You add those corporate taxes back into the system, companies will shrink. And at the very least, if you take those corporate taxes away, they'll also raise the prices of the products that they produce. And that affects us all. So they will shrink. The unemployment rate will go up again just because, here's what Joe Biden's going to say today, science tells us that how we act or fail to act in the next 12 years will determine the very livability of our planet. How many times have you heard this? You know, the Democrats have been preaching this stuff for years and years and years, and I'm sorry, there is no scientific proof of this happening. And Joe Biden's saying today, that's why I'm calling for a clean energy revolution to confront this crisis and do what America does best. Al Gore was talking this way, folks, decades ago. Much change have you noticed out there? By the way, most meteorologists and others who look at climate science, if they're honest about it, it is cyclical. You know, our Midwest has been facing these flooding, the tornadoes in recent weeks. I heard a meteorologist historian being interviewed the other day, and he says, you know what, this has happened before. But what we have today are the Democrats, their friends in the left-wing media, all pointing to this, and they love to use this word crisis. Now, what's he going to do? For instance, he's going to eliminate, as I mentioned, existing subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. That's going to be the end of the coal industry, folks. That's it. It'll be done. I wonder if former Vice President Joe Biden is aware of what coal is being used for today. How about for producing energy? And by the way, most of the coal, if not all the coal today, is very low in emissions. They put scrubbers on these plants, these generating plants, to hold in most of the pollution. But you take away these subsidies from the coal industry. And Joe Biden, by the way, in his plan today says, well, we're going to offer retraining to people who work in our mines. Really. You know, Joe Biden is repeating the mistake that Hillary Clinton made back in 2016. Remember that? She went to West Virginia, one of the coal capitals in this country, and basically said, yeah, I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to unemploy you. That really helped her. But yeah, you're going to hear a whole lot more from Joe Biden today. Well, you'll hear just enough. Like I say, he's out competing, for the far left of the Democratic vote. That'll probably help him a little bit. But what it would do to this country, I tell you what, folks. The Democrats are great at announcing these plans. But when it comes to implementation, how it hurts the country, I think the country has learned. That's why Donald Trump won the election in 2016. People caught on to the far left agenda of the Democratic Party. And they said, no, not here. And now we have evidence that Trump's plan really does work. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson. Sitting in for Sandy today, much more ahead on this Tuesday morning. Don't go away.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help. finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Michael Ned, Acting Director for the Bureau of Land Management. Mr. Ned's agency oversees the administration of more than 247 million acres of land in the United States. Psalm 2:8 reminds us that the earth is God's creation. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Michael Ned as he works to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of the public land. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A yearbook cover story. More next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Fifth graders at Manchester Elementary School in Nebraska voted to put a collection of words shaped like a cross on the front cover of their yearbook. The cross-shaped design included words like love, inspire, and believe. A few weeks after the yearbooks were distributed, someone raised issues about the religious imagery. There were concerns the cross-shaped design was insensitive, so the yearbooks were confiscated and the books reprinted without the cross. Now, this is the same grade school that implemented an all-out ban on Christmas last year. I'm puzzled by the PTO's explanation about being insensitive. It seems to me they should want the boys and girls to love and laugh and believe and hope and dream and, yes, even have faith. The idea that these virtues are somehow tainted because they're in the shape of a cross, well, that's plumb nuts. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in today. Always fun to do this program because Sandy has, I think, some of the best listeners in American Family Radio. We sure do appreciate you each morning, Rob.
Amazing bunch of people listening and contributing.
Yes.
On Facebook, on Sandy's Facebook page, Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yep.
And Sandy's got a great platform that God's blessed her with.
Amen.
And a lot of great listeners and a lot of adversaries that like to go back and forth, which is also not a bad thing. It lets people see both sides of an argument.
Absolutely. And, adversaries are out there today, folks.
Oh, boy. What are you talking about?
I know, for sure. And, we've been talking about and often what comes up on our programs here is the attacks that this president is under. And, he is doing what other presidents have not done. For instance, the strong stand that he has taken on the abortion issue, unprecedented. I will never forget the evening of the debate with Hillary Clinton, where the abortion question came up, and the stand that he took. Now, even some of his supporters, because of the history of presidents making promises, and then when they get elected, they don't keep.
Right.
He took a strong stand for the unborn, and he has maintained that. Now, courts are attacking him, the Democrats, the media, et cetera, et cetera. So what is behind all of this, I'll call it hatred, of this president? It is unprecedented, at least in my time, that a president would be disliked to this degree. And efforts underway, Democratic Party, they keep calling on Nancy Pelosi to begin impeachment proceedings. And I think that was what was behind Franklin Graham's call last Sunday for a day of prayer for our president. And joining us right now, one of those who supported that call for a day of prayer for the president is our good friend Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and a voice well familiar here at American Family Radio. Good morning, Dr. Land.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Why is this president, in your opinion, being attacked? Why does he have so many enemies that, you know, on a day-by-day basis? I don't know how he handles that, how he takes it. I think other people would wilt very quickly. But what's behind this hatred?
Well, he's declared war on the deep state and on the Washington establishment. He did it in his inaugural address. I was sitting there in front of him, and my jaw was on the floor, on the ground in front of me. I mean, right with the establishment sitting there behind him, he said that this establishment that existed for its own purposes and not for the people they serve was coming to an end, and he declared war on them. And he meant business. And as a consequence, they've declared war on him. And I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats in the Washington establishment and the civil servants in the deep state, including the CIA, including the National Intelligence Community. I think that we're on the lip, we're just on the lip of the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States, because I think it's going to be revealed. Bill Barr, you know, Attorney General Barr is a he is a legal Eagle Scout, and his secular religion is the Constitution, and he's here to chase the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, we're going to see indictments. And so they're trying to destroy the president and destroy his effectiveness before he and his attorney general can destroy them. That's exactly what's going on. And you're right. I don't know how he does it. I was at a dinner at the White House the night before the National Day of Prayer, and the president was ebullient. I mean, you know, if I were the president and I'd gone through what he's gone through, I would be in a fetal position in the Oval Office with my thumb in my mouth.
Can you put your finger on any one particular thing? We know he has taken a strong stand for the unborn. But is it, when you talk about the swamp, is his stand on nationalism? Is there one thing that they really want to unseat this president?
No, I think it's just his whole approach is pro-people, anti-government. On the immigration issue, on being an American first, not a citizen of the world first. His emphasis on American institutions, not global institutions. The fact that he has put the embassy in Jerusalem. The fact that he is negotiating trade deals that, gasp, have America's interests first. This goes against everything that they believe in as internationalists and as globalists. And people who, you know, the old joke that at the State Department, what we needed most of the time, you know, you have desks for different parts of the world. We needed an American desk, somebody at the State Department who stands up for America. Hmm. Well, we have someone now who stands up for America. It's Donald Trump.
Tell me, you know, I guess I'm not surprised that the mainstream media, which is far left, and polls have shown that they vote Democrat. I'm not really surprised that Nancy Pelosi, the way she's behaving, and Chuck Schumer. That doesn't surprise me. What has surprised me a bit, Dr. Land, is even within some in the evangelical community that are still opposing this president. What's behind that?
Well, you know, look, when I was asked to join the president's evangelical advisory board after it was clear he had the nomination, I said, well, now you do understand that he was my last choice in the primaries. And they said, yes, we do, but we still would like for you to join. I said, okay, because, you know, if when it comes to a binary choice between Hillary Clinton and President Trump, it took me about one nanosecond to determine that at the very worst, the president was the lesser evil versus Hillary Clinton. And frankly, he's done far better than I thought he would. But I think some evangelicals, you know, they just were so offended by the president's attacks on people and the president, some of the comments the president made and some of the president's past, that they just decided, well, I'm just not going to dirty my hands by getting involved in public politics. I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. Well, I call that the Pontius Pilate syndrome, where you ask for a basin of water and you wash your hands and say, I'm not going to get involved in anything as contaminating as politics. Well, my theology tells me that when I am confronted with a choice between a bad choice and a worse choice, if I don't help support the bad choice, then I become morally culpable for helping the worst choice prevail. So I think it's a combination of a lack of understanding of how the real world works, and sort of a desire to be above the fray. And of course, you know, as Abraham Lincoln once said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
You know, I've heard it said too that even in some of our pulpits of our churches, pastors should be obligated or are under an obligation to speak out about abortion, to speak out about the homosexual agenda. But yet today, many pastors are reluctant to do that.
Well, they are, and of course, one reason is that sadly, tragically, studies show us that significant numbers of people in their congregations have either had an abortion or paid for an abortion or encouraged an abortion. You can't have 60 million babies killed and not have it almost everywhere in our society. But I must tell you, when I first went into the ministry, when I was 16, which was a long time ago, the one thing that shocked me over and over and over again over these intervening six decades is the lack of spine in so many preachers. They're almost, many preachers are like invertebrates. They just don't have a spine.
Yeah. Well, that shocks me, that statement. I mean, why then would you go into the ministry if you are afraid to preach the truth?
Well, I think a lot of people go into the ministry because they see the public side where people are shaking their hand and patting them on the back and telling them how great they are, and they don't realize that the stuff that goes on behind the scenes where it's spiritual warfare, and so they're in it because they want to please people. You know, I've always said to people, when people have said to me, well, I really appreciate that strong stand. Of course, you know, I can't do that in my church. And I said, you know, I'm more afraid of what God will do to me if I don't take a stand for truth than I am afraid of what deacons may do to me if I do stand for truth.
That's good. You know, I mentioned a few moments ago that you're one of the people that signed on to Franklin Graham's call for a special day of prayer for the president last Sunday. In that call, Dr. Graham said, we are in a moment of spiritual crisis in our country. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's clear for anyone who has eyes to see that we are in a moment of spiritual crisis in our country. We're deeply, deeply divided. I think for the first time since the Civil War was over, we had the most conservative Democrat in the House of Representatives has a more liberal voting record than the most liberal Republican. There is no overlap between the two at all. And so we have a deeply divided country, which is symbolized by a deeply divided House of Representatives and a deeply divided Senate. And I think the Internet is part of this. Part of it, of course, is just turning away from God. But part of it's the Internet. You know, John Donne once said, no man is an island, we're all part of the whole. Well, now with the Internet, every man is his own island. There is no whole. Mm. And what we're seeing is the atomization of the United States. And everybody, you know, increasingly, they live in their own little virtual electronic world. They're increasingly isolated. and it's doing horrible damage to our young people. I saw a study the other day where a sociologist, now sociologists, they never use language like this, said, without exception, they never use, that's a phrase they never use, without exception, the more time that teenagers spend online, the more depressed they are. The less time they spend online, the less depressed they are.
Mm. You know, Dr. Land, I know you're a man of history. When we talk about the spiritual crisis in this country, which, as you say, is very evident, it's not like this hasn't happened before in other parts of the world. And I'm talking about Europe, that turned their back on Christianity. Talk to us a little bit about what Europe could teach us and ought to be a wake-up call to what's happening in this country.
Well, I mean, you know, I lived in England for 3 years in the mid-70s. I was doing a PhD at Oxford University. And if you want to know what America possibly is going to look like in 40 years, look at the United Kingdom, look at England. When I was over there, C.S. Lewis was hardly known in England. He was all the rage in the United States because Lewis was the rage during World War II and up until about 1955 in England. And then England passed him by as they went lower and lower spiritually. Now you have in England more Muslims go to mosque on Sunday than Christians go to church in England. And I saw an article last night that the northwest part of the United States is, unless something changes, it's America's future. And in the northwestern Oregon, Washington, and Idaho up in there, that literally 9% of Oregonians claim to belong to any religious tradition. It's the most secular part of the country. And you see what happens. People are spiritually dying of malnourishment. They're feeding their souls with cotton candy, and they're starving to death. And that's the future for us. Unless we have, as far as I'm concerned, the only hope for America is a revival. And, you know, I love that word revival. You got to be revived before you can be revived. And so the first thing that's got to happen is God's people have got to get right with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I believe that if the Christians get revived and the lost people notice and some of them start getting saved and we have to have a spiritual awakening, that's when lost people get saved. And then when the saved people who've been revived and the lost people who've been saved both apply the truths of the gospel as salt and light to the evils in society, then we can have a reformation. And frankly, that's what we must have. Our problems are God-sized problems. And only God's going to solve them. And let me tell you the most sobering thing I wake up to every morning, and that is this. Whether America has a future worth having doesn't depend on what lost people do. It depends on what Christians do. If we confess our sins and we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, then God will look down from heaven and forgive our sin and will heal our land. It depends on what the Christians do. We got to have a revival in our churches. That's the first beginning point. You know, it's the government is a caboose. The people are the locomotive. When the people change, the government will change. And so, you know, I really believe that fervently that what we've got to have in this country is a heaven-sent great awakening that will shake this country for the Lord Jesus the way the first great awakening did and plowed the ground for the American Revolution in the 1740s and the 1750s.
Dr. Richard Land, always words of wisdom. We appreciate you so much, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, God bless you.
All right, you take care, sir. Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary in the beautiful city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, listen, we want to hear from you. You've heard the prescription from Dr. Land of what the country needs. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Want to hear from you when we come back on this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Brett in for Sandy. We're back right after the break.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Prior to shutting down the Office of Special Counsel, Bob Mueller conducted a 9-minute press conference. His display was so odious, longtime Democrat voter, liberal lawyer, and professor Alan Dershowitz was aghast. Dershowitz said, by putting his thumb, indeed his elbow, on the scale of justice in favor of impeachment, Mueller has revealed his partisan bias. Dershowitz continued, shame on Mueller for abusing his position of trust and for allowing himself to be used for such partisan advantage. Translation, Bob Mueller is the partisan hack we thought he was and a co-conspirator in the coup effort to overthrow the president.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening at our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. Father's Day is coming up, and we want to encourage you to give the Boy to Man book as a gift to the father of a 12-year-old son you know. The father might be your husband, your cousin, your nephew, your grandson, a member of your fellowship group, a neighbor, or your son's Little League coach. I had the privilege of being a guest on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk radio program, appearing with guest host Dr. Tim Clinton. Here's how a portion of that interview went.
Our special guest again today has been Brian Fisher. He's the author of a brand new work called The Boy to Man Book, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. It's a must for every family out there.
If you order a book by June 7, we'll make sure to get you a signed copy by Father's Day. Go to afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred here, sitting in for Sandy today. She'll be back in the chair tomorrow. 888-589-8840, the number to call. I really enjoy talking with Dr. Land. Kind of puts his finger on it every time. And the answer to where we are as a country spiritually is revival. He's exactly right. And as he said, revival must start individually as Christians and in our churches, because we can't expect the unsaved to understand what the problem is. It's got to start with us and a commitment to declare the truth. And I think the problem in many of our churches today, we're trying to appease rather than please God. with our messages. All right, let's go to our phones. Let's head out first to Texas this morning. We want to talk to Reagan. Reagan, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Great to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what Dr. Land just spoke about revival being in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that this day and age that we are worshiping screens. And so, in my opinion, we're in the last days in Revelation, worshiping the image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess where I'm coming from is, yes, there needs to be a revival in the church, but that history is going to play out towards the end times, and it says that we should have peace in that.
Mm-hmm.
And know that we have the victory, even though history will continue to decline morally, spiritually, outside of the church.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Reagan. The Bible tells us that things will wax worse and worse and before Jesus comes back again. But I think the Lord wants us to go down swinging. In other words,
Yeah. Let's
not as Christians put up the white flag and say, oh me, oh my, this is the way it's going to be. I think when Jesus confronted Peter, this is after Jesus' resurrection, when he confronted Peter there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, it was about feeding my sheep. It was about, and to put it in a paraphrase, it's about, Peter, you need to get busy for me. And understand, remember he told Peter at that point that he would face death for what he believed. But a fear of death is not an excuse not to do anything. It is to go out there. And Peter took that message to heart. And indeed, he did die by crucifixion in Rome, we're told, historians tell us. And he was crucified upside down. But he went down swinging. And I think that's what our Lord and Savior expects of us today, too. We know how things are going to proceed overall. But I think Dr. Land's point, Reagan, and I think you're agreeing that revival can happen in our day and age, but it has to start, as I say, with us individually and within our churches. And the question is, are our churches prepared to be unpopular in their message, but to be popular and to be blessed by God with that message? Thank you very much, Reagan. All right, North Carolina. Claude, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You and Dr. Land were talking about why the people are so against Trump is because he won the election and they couldn't handle that. And that's what started all, but it just keeps getting worse. I'm just absolutely amazed that he's been able to withstand all of the harassment and torture that's been thrown at him and all the lies that's been told about him. But like Dr. Land said, we've got to have a spiritual awakening in this country. Only God can change it. We can't. Every time man starts to do something, he messes it up. So it is a God thing, and we've got to pray, and he will take over and heal our land.
Yeah. Claude, you're absolutely right. And what does it mean to be faithful to God? We hear this. What does it mean? Are people say that God has to do it? Well, God is only going to be blessed if we are faithful to his word. And I think we need fewer conferences and seminars about how to win the lost and just get back to what the basics of Scripture tell us. Share the good news. Where does that start? It's about sharing your testimony about how you got saved. I think we worry too much sometimes about winning arguments with the unsaved, instead of just sharing what we know is biblical truth and letting the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of individuals. The Holy Spirit has to do the convicting works, folks. You and I can't do that. We are not charged to convict souls. That's not our charge. That's not our job. Our job is certainly just to share the truth and let the Holy Spirit take that truth and ingrain it into the hearts of the unsaved to convict them to do what is right. All right. West Virginia. Good morning to Judith. Go ahead, Judith.
Well, good morning. I just want to say that our church, and I praise the Lord for our pastor and our congregation, which is a very small country church.
Mm-hmm.
But he stands up for God's truth.
Amen.
We have a digital sign outside of our church, and it's on a main road, and we have very few in our church. But, you know, all these social agendas, the abortion, he lets the public know that it's wrong.
Mm.
Now, we love the people. We have a couple of lesbians who have come into our church, and they left the lesbian lifestyle because
Amen.
We love them.
Yes.
Because God has convicted them, and we haven't condemned them.
Amen.
We let God do the work.
Yes, that's right.
And there is a multitude of churches out there who believe in what the Bible says, but they need the backbone to stand up and say, you know, this is what God says.
Yes.
And we're not backing down.
Yes.
Amen. So there's hope out there.
Judith, thank God. You so much. And listen, thank be for your pastor for doing what's right. Yep. And that by showing the love of the Lord, as you mentioned to these two women who came into your church, that acts as a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts.
Exactly.
Of where they are. And so congratulations to you and keep praying for that pastor of yours. Thank you so much, Judith. That is really encouraging. Let's head to Arkansas right now. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to point out Nancy Pershing in her book, Total Truth, talks about how the past revivals were largely emotional. And we're called to love God with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. And a lot of times, you know, preachers are preaching to our hearts and they don't ever touch our minds. And I think, you know, right now the church is dying for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about, you know, how we have to stand on the truth of the word. And so many people and ladies don't know the word.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest problem today. It's just too many people don't know what the word of God says.
Absolutely. And Nick, I couldn't, you know, the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word tells us. And it is God's word that has the authority, not our words. That's why preachers just need to stick to preaching God's word. We're not interested in man-made philosophies and in the latest campaign to do this or to do that. Just preach God's word. Be faithful to that. And let's be honest. Preachers can get up there and preach God's word, but we are expected, we are commanded by God to do that individually too. We need to be in God's word. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've led a small group for 5 or 6 years, and one of the things that I've stressed with our small group is you've got to read God's word. You've got to get into the Bible yourself.
Yes.
You can't depend on a 30-minute sermon on Sunday. What that does is open the door for further study by you.
Yeah.
You've got to get in God's word because that's where all the truth is. Mm-hmm. That's where all the knowledge is mm-hmm. that produces wisdom.
You know, and excuses like I don't have time, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
No.
And that doesn't pass muster at all, folks. If you're too busy to read God's word, you're too busy. That's one problem. Another excuse that I hear is, well, it's so complicated.
No.
I can't understand it. Start with the Gospels.
Right.
If you're not in the habit of reading God's word, start with the Gospels. It's real straightforward, folks. It is the story of Jesus coming to this earth because of a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for our sins, to pay the price for our sins.
That's right.
That ain't complicated.
No.
At all. We all understand that we are sinners, every one of us. But it takes perfection to get to heaven. And we know we can't do that. So that's why Jesus had to come and pay the price for our sins.
Amen.
Because our righteousness is what? It's like filthy rags in God's sight. Let us remember that. That's God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel for those who are trying to work their way to heaven. That doesn't happen. If we could work our way to heaven, why did Jesus have to come die on the cross?
That's right.
I mean, it's as simple as that. So I don't accept that argument that it's too complicated. I can't read God's word. All right, back to our phones. We've got a few minutes left here. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Good morning, Diane in Pennsylvania.
Good morning. You asked why people are having such problems with Donald Trump. And I'd like to propose the idea that it is the international global community in Europe and all around. We know that from Revelation that Satan wants a one world control.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 100 years, there's been socialism here developing, socialism there developing. This is Satan working to develop this international, global, whatever word you want to call it. And I believe that very high up people in America were interested in working towards this globalism.
Yeah.
Well, then Donald Trump came along and he wasn't a part of that. And they did not anticipate someone speaking against globalism and for independent nation states and nationalism.
You're absolutely right, Diane. And I'll tell you what. Here's another part of that problem. Socialism, and why you see this happening in this country, that socialism is being taught at the very lower levels of our schools. Our kids are being taught socialism. Our kids are being taught that nationalism, and you even hear it amongst some evangelical leaders. They equate nationalism with white supremacy. So if you believe in borders, you're a racist. Now that's what's being taught out there, folks. And our caller from Pennsylvania is exactly right. But it's not just world governments that believe in globalism. It is being taught at the very in our school system, our university system. It's being promoted in our media. And yes, it's being promoted in some churches. But we have to be against that. A country is not a country unless it has borders, folks. That is the bottom line in all of this. And that's why, it's one of the reasons why Donald Trump is hated so. And our caller is exactly right. You know, we have to stand up for truth today, biblical truth. That is what's going on. Our guest this morning, Dr. Richard Land, made that perfectly clear. We have to stand up for biblical truth. Revival must occur, but revival has to be based on the truth of God's word. It must be declared in our churches. That's where revival will start. Hey, listen, been good to be with you today. We could go on and on, but we got to get out of here, make way for news and more great programming here on American Family Radio. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. It's been my pleasure. We'll be back again real soon. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.